year, as you know, Pope Francis visited the United States. Unfortunately for me, he didn't come to Huntersville, although that would have fit in with the usual. But he did visit New York City. And he got there by driven by a chauffeur from Washington, D.C. to New York. And on the way, as they were out on the highway, Pope Francis leaned up the driver and said, "Hey, you know, I don't get to drive very much, and I want to be okay with you if I just took over and drove for a while." So they pulled over, and the chauffeur said, "Fine," they switched places, and the Pope takes off, and boy, this is feeling really good. So before you know it, he is flying. And within a few minutes, one of New York's finest pulls him over. So the trooper goes up to the window and stands there for a couple minutes, and he comes back to the car, and his partner says, "Hey, did you give that guy a ticket?" He said, "No, he was too important to get a ticket." "Too important? Was it the governor?" "No, a lot more important than the governor." "Was it a senator?" "A lot more important than the senator." "Was it the president of the United States?" "A lot more important than the president." "Well, who in the world was he?" "Well, I don't know, but the Pope is his chauffeur." Merry Christmas, David. There's got to be some sense I can make out of that. Well, here's the sense of that. The most important question you will ever ask yourself is this: who is driving, what is driving your life? Is it pride? Is it fear? Is it yourself? Is it your peers? Is it the media, the social media, the culture? Is it your past? Who or what is driving your life? Well, the message of Advent and of Christmas is this: Jesus, the Son of God, came into the world to save the world, to take hold of your life, to guide and shape and transform your life and every relationship you have into all that God created and wants it to be, in fact, what we want it to be. The message of Christmas is this: to heed the warning of the sign I once saw by the side of the road, and that is, if Jesus is your co-pilot, switch seats. Many of us claim that Jesus is the reason for the season. Well, putting aside the fact that Jesus never mentioned his birth, much less ever asked us to celebrate his birth, putting aside the fact that he must be appalled at what we now do in his name, the reality is that for many of us, when Christmas is over, it's over. The evergreen is tossed to the side of the road, where it turns brown and dies. And we go back to business as usual, unfazed, untouched by Jesus. If your life and relationships are the same today as they were when Advent began, if you suspect that your life will not be changed by Jesus as of December the 26th, then listen up. Because Jesus is offering us this morning a blessing that will change us and keep us from ever going back to business as usual. It is a message that can change your life forever and to become all that he wants us to be. Jesus does this through the 21st chapter of the Gospel of John. It comes right at the end of John's Gospel. And the disciples have seen throughout Jesus' ministry how he has healed the sick, he has given sight to the blind, given new legs to the lame, he has driven out demons from people's lives, he's raised the dead, he's forgiven sinners, he's transformed lives, he has forgiven their sins and transformed their lives. And Jesus has taught them that if you will only trust in me and walk in the ways that I walk, you will receive the abundant life. And someday, you receive eternal life with me in heaven. And they have seen Jesus die on the cross for them to take away whatever is getting in the way of that abundant and eternal life. And they have seen him raised from the dead to raise the living dead to new life and to raise the physically dead to an eternal life with him. And at the end of his ministry, Jesus calls them together and says, "Now you are to be me to the world, to bring this good news, to heal the sick and give sight to the blind and new life to the seemingly dead. You need to be me in the world." They all say, "Okay." And then what do? They go back to business as usual. They go fishing. But Jesus does not give up on them. And he doesn't give up on us when we go back to business as usual. After Christmas, maybe even during it. Instead, he comes to them and now he comes to us to offer us a blessing that will change us forever. Here's how it goes. Afterwards, after all these things that happened, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. Simon, Peter, Thomas, Nathanael, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. "I'm going fishing," Simon Peter told them. And they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples did not realize it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Well, throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved, i.e. John, said to Peter, "It is the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped himself in his outer garment and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the boat full of fish, a net full of fish. And when they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring me some of the fish you have just caught." And Peter dragged the net ashore as full of fish, 153 in all. And Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Jesus took the bread and gave it to him, and he did the same with the fish. And when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of God, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Well, feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And he answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Then take care of my sheep." Third time, Jesus said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Peter was hurt because Jesus had asked him the third time. He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Well, feed my sheep." Then Jesus said to Peter, "Follow me." Peter looked and saw another disciple and asked, "Well, what about him?" And Jesus answered, "What is that to you? You come and follow me." I love this scripture. It is one of my funeral scriptures, one of 30. So somebody needs to take notes here so that at my funeral you can preach this message or your facsimile of it, okay? I love this scripture because it's about me. It may even be about some of you, maybe about all of you. You see, I know about Jesus. I have accepted him as the Lord and Savior of my life. I've experienced his abundant life. I live in hope someday of eternal life with him. I have experienced miracles that he has done for me and through me. And I have tasted his abundant life of love and joy and peace and hope and so much more. Yet I too many days, I just go back to business as usual as though Jesus never existed in my life. I live my way without even a thought about Jesus' way. In fact, sometimes I just reject the way of Jesus that I know he wants for my life. And when I do that, my life is like those disciples in that boat that morning. My life comes up empty. Empty of the power and the blessings and the love that Jesus wants to pour into my life. Not only for me, my friends, but for the people in my life. It comes up empty for you. And when I see, I finally figure out what is happening. What I do is I think about this scene. It's printed indelibly on my mind. What Jesus did that morning. And I remember and I say to myself, the scripture that Jack and Beth read to us this morning, Jesus comes to the world not to condemn the world, not to condemn me because I've gone back to business as usual and ignored him. No, he comes to save me from myself. To save me so that I can get away from my business as usual and live his business as usual in my life. And when that happens, I began to feel the power of Jesus coming back into my life. I'm no longer empty. I'm full of that power and that love and that peace, that hope, not myself, but to give it to you and to all the people that Jesus puts in my path. You see, I know I'm just like those guys. I just go back to business as usual like Jesus never existed, but I pray every time I feel that power coming out of my body to come back in, to open my mind and my heart and my life to Him. This morning, Jesus is going to offer us a way to open our minds and our hearts and our lives to all that He can be for us. And He does this with His invitation to love. Jesus invites us to let Him love us so that we can see who we can be. I urge you this morning, if you have not already done it, to embrace the unconditional, overflowing, intense love of Jesus Christ for you. Jesus comes to Peter and those disciples and you and me, no matter how far we have walked away, now how long we have been gone from Him, no matter how many times we ignore Him and forget Him and reject Him, Jesus just keeps on coming. I want you to picture Jesus' face with me on that morning as He walks down that Sea of Galilee. You know what I see on His face? I see tears. Jesus is not mad. He is crying. Jesus is saying to Himself, you know what I did for them? I have offered them abundant life. I've offered them the hope of eternal life. I gave my life for them. I died on the cross for them. And they walk away from me back to business as usual without me. Jesus is crying for us when we walk away. But Jesus wipes away His tears. And He comes to wherever we are, however far or however long we have been gone. For it is promised in the Gospel of Matthew, I will be with you always and every day. It is a promise that Paul lifts up for us when he says, nothing can separate us from the love of Jesus Christ, even when we walk away, my friends. It is a promise of Psalm 139. It says, if I climb to the height of heaven and ascend to the depths of hell, you are there. And when I walk in total, ultimate darkness, your light shall shine and drive it away. For you see, Jesus is like that older man sitting in the waiting room at urgent care in Charlotte. It's about 8 o'clock in the morning, and he's there to get some stitches out of his arm. And he goes up to reception and says, look, I know everybody's busy here, but I have a really important appointment at 9 o'clock this morning. I cannot miss it, and I cannot be late. The receptionist goes back, gets the nurse, she checks the wound, it's going okay, so she removes the stitches. And as the man starts to leave, the receptionist says, well, what is this really important appointment you have? He said, well, every morning at 9 o'clock, I go to the nursing home to see my beautiful wife. The receptionist says, what a kind man you are. It must be the highlight of her day. And the man says, well, actually, she doesn't know who I am. She hasn't recognized me for more than 5 years. And the woman says, well, why do you go? She doesn't know who you are. And the man smiles and says, because I know who she is. And I love her. And who knows? Maybe someday she'll remember who I am. You see, Jesus keeps coming to us. He's here with us this morning, my friends, unseen and unknown perhaps to you. Because He knows who you are. You are a precious child of God. You are His brother, His sister. And maybe someday He hopes, if He just keeps loving us and coming to us, maybe someday we'll remember Him and receive His gifts. You see, what Jesus offers us to see is who we can be if we let Him take hold of our lives. You see, what Jesus wants us to see is that insight of that artist at the Urban Ministry Center in Charlotte who painted a portrait of one of the homeless men there. And he showed it to the man, And it showed a picture of this man who was standing straight, and he was sober, and he had obviously the light of joy in his life, and he had this bright-eyed, uplifted look. And the man looked at it and said, well, there's a resemblance there, but I don't look like that man. And the artist said, that's what I see, who you are. And then he added, and that's who Jesus sees, who you can be. The man paused a minute and he said, can I have the portrait? And the artist said, sure, take it. So over the next weeks, true story, he began to look at this portrait every day. And after a while, he started to say, maybe I can look like that man. And so then he began to see a counselor. And then he began to go to AA. And then he began to work with a chaplain there to read the Bible and pray together. And then he began to live and to do what it takes to be that man. That man today, my friends, looked just like that portrait. He's straight and tall and sober and full of joy. Because someone saw in him what Jesus saw in him. And he believed that Jesus loved him enough to make him look like that man that Jesus wanted him to be. Jesus had a portrait of you and of me. It looks like his plan that Jeremiah talks about, a plan for you that will do nothing but good for you and prosper you. That portrait looks a lot like our brother Jesus, living his way and his business, not ours. You see, like the disciples, we may not see him yet. We may not see Jesus in us, but Jesus is going to keep on coming to us and loving us until we want to be who he wants us to be. And by the power of Jesus Christ himself, it'll happen. Because Jesus loves us, he invites us to love him so that his portrait could become who we are. Jesus, a portrait of you and me and Peter, is the abundant life. This is what your life, Jesus wants to paint and for you look like, full of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and faithfulness and generosity and gentleness and compassion and forgiveness and hope. It is true, as Christine Lekovich reminded us last week, that this change begins in us by confessing and repenting of whatever that sin is that gets in the way of being who Jesus wants us to be. Because if we ask for that, he'll forgive us and he'll take it away. But my experience is, Christine, no disrespect to you whatsoever, Court, because I do want you to stay here and continue doing your wonderful work, all right? Plus, you're one of our elders. We don't need to replace you. But the truth is, you know what that leads to most of the time? Quick fix forgiveness. I know that. I can testify to that because I ask for forgiveness. And you know what happens? Maybe 10 days if I'm lucky, that same sin comes back. Ever happen to you? You ever say the same sin more than once? If you did, say amen for me this morning. Okay? That's called quick fix forgiveness. And what happens is that same sin comes back or another one takes its place. And next thing you know, we cannot be who it is that Jesus wants to be because there's something right in front of us despite all that confession and repentance. Jesus knows this. And so what Jesus offers us is to a different way, an additional way, not only to drive out the sin, but put something else in that will bless us and lead us to the abundant life that he wants of us. It's the way of the question that Jesus asked Peter and to us this morning. We can tell that Jesus is serious. You know how we tell? He called him Peter. He called him by his full name, Simon, son of John. Y'all ever had that before? Hey, Fred Templeton. That's not the way my mother would say it. One day he's going to say, somebody over here is going to say, Camden Dean, right? Probably already has. Somebody's going to say, Elsabon, right? When they say that, what we know is they are serious, right? And they're looking for a change. So Jesus uses this full name for Simon, son of John, he says, because he's serious. Now Jesus looks Peter straight in the eye and asks a question that can change our lives. He asks Peter this question, do you love me more than these? And the word that Jesus uses for love is not, oh, do you feel good about me this morning? Oh, no. The word Jesus uses for love means devoted, exclusively dedicated. What he's asking Peter is, are you devoted to me? Are you exclusively dedicating your life to me more than these? Now notice, Jesus does not say what these is or, whichever that way is. Maybe it's these disciples. Maybe it's that boat. Maybe it's that fishing business. He just leaves it wide open for Peter and you and me to fill in the blank. What is in your life, friend? What values, what priorities, what way of life are you hanging on to that you love, that you're devoted to more than me? That means that Jesus gives us a choice. We can decide. You want the abundant life that Jesus offers you? You want the blessings that Jesus wants to pour into your life? And Jesus says, well, you got to choose. Are you going to choose this other way of life, these other values, these priorities? Are you going to choose me? And we make that choice, my friends. And however we decide, we'll decide the fate of our lives. It's deciding it right now. So, what Jesus adds on to this is a condition. We hate that, don't we? So Peter picks up on this and says, oh, Jesus, I love you, I love you, I love you. Three times he says it. In fact, he says, why are you asking me this question three times? You know I love you more than me. Well, Jesus knows that talk is cheap. Right? So Jesus gives Peter and you and me an exercise, a path that will open our lives to Jesus more than our words. Jesus says, feed my lambs. Care for my sheep. Feed my sheep. Follow me. You love me? You will care for your brothers and sisters. And you will follow me wherever I lead you. You see, this is the way, the path that Jesus lays out in the gospel. This is not new news to Peter and these disciples, you or me. Jesus says in the gospels, if you want me to be the Lord of your life, then you must be the servant of all. Jesus says, if you want me in your life, then here's what you got to do. You got to care for the poor. You got to heal the sick. You got to visit the prisoners. You got to set the oppressed free. You have to feed the hungry and invite the homeless, he says, into your homes. And Jesus says, this is my commandment. Number 11, love one another as I love you. What does that look like, Jesus says? To give your life for anyone who needs you. Jesus says, if you obey these commandments, then I will come and live in you, and your life will be filled with abundance, and you will receive, Jesus says, complete joy. My friend, I have experienced this in my life. That's a fact. I've experienced the more I serve you and pray for you and reach out to give you whatever you need when I have the power to do it through Jesus Christ, I have grown so close to Him. That's when I feel the abundant life. It's when I walk away from Him, it's like, pfft. So, it's just not about me. I want to share with you what happened to me on Friday. You know, when you're working on these messages, what Jesus does is He pitches somebody in your life to affirm or disaffirm what you're about to say. Well, I want to share with you what Mike Slaughter shared with us on Friday morning and then later with me during the day as I talked with him about it further. So Mike, as many of you know, is our director for Ministry to Youth in East Huntersville, which for you visitors, that is our primary focus in a neighborhood here in Charlotte, which probably at least half or more of the people in this church are dedicated to and involved with. Mike's an amazing man. He's already changing lives. So Mike was talking to our men on Friday morning in our men's group, and this is what he says. My life is stress-free. My life is full of joy and peace because I spend my life doing for others what Jesus wants me to do. I love on others. I love that phrase. It says, I love on others like Jesus loves on me. Helping others with what they need, praying for them, showing them how to put Jesus in their life. And here's something I really love, that this insight that Mike has. And he says, when there's a step back, now, he's working with teenagers, so you can guess there are a few step backs, right? So he says, there's a big setback or a step back, when there's some trouble, he says, I am not discouraged, I am encouraged. We're looking at him in that men's group like he is crazy. And Mike says, because when those things happen, it will bring me closer to Jesus as I look to Him to guide me in what I am to do. And because it gives me the opportunity to do more with Jesus, because everything I say He says and everything I do, I put Jesus in it. And when I put Jesus in it, I come closer and closer to Him, and He blesses my life. I follow Him where He leads. And when I do that, He says, there is no discouragement, only love and joy and peace and more. Are you willing to love Jesus like that? Are you willing to put Jesus in the midst of everything in your life? Are you willing to reach out and help your brothers and sisters who need you? What Jesus says is, if you want that love and joy and peace, you want your life to be stress-free, and Jesus guiding your every step, then you put Jesus in the midst of everything you do. And the promise of Jesus is, your joy will be complete. Well, how you love may be different from Mike Slaughter or me or someone else here. But I assure you that for Jesus to rescue us from our business as usual, to bless us with His blessings, we must not only let Him love us, which we like that part, but we are to love His sheep and care for them. I encourage you to let Jesus love you and to love Him by the way you serve others. So this morning I'm going to re-gift to you a picture of what that can look like. Because somebody once said, there's a lot of words coming to you up there, Lawrence. Can you just give us a picture? So this morning I'm going to give you a picture, actually six of them. So you heard the story of the footprints in the sand, and I gave you this gift several months ago. Some of you remember, some of you don't. So here's how our life goes. We're looking at our lives through footprints in the sand with Jesus. First step is we're just all over the place. Jesus over here, we're over here, we're just wandering around. But then there are two paths, two sets of footprints walking together. That's when we figured out who Jesus is and we begin to walk with Jesus in our lives. Suddenly, as you know, suddenly there's only one set of footprints. And we turn to Jesus and say, well, did I walk away from you or did you leave me? And Jesus says, no, I love you. I will never leave you. That's when you were suffering, when trouble came in your life. And I'm carrying you. Y'all know this part, right? But then you look and there's, again, two sets of prints. You say, what is that all about? And Jesus says, well, after I cared for you, you came to trust me. And you began to walk with me more closely than before. Then you see one set of prints again. You say, Lord, will you carry me again? And Jesus says, no, my friend. This is where you devoted your life to me, where you loved me and loved others for me, that you began to walk in my footprints. We are one, Jesus says. But then in dismay, you see all these prints going everywhere. You say, oh, Lord, have I wandered away from you again? And Jesus takes your hand and says, no, my beloved child. This, my friend, is when we were dancing together. Dancing for the joy of what happens when you love me and let me love you. And your life is filled with those gifts, those abundant gifts of love and joy and peace that I offer to you. No, my friend, we are dancing for joy for the blessings I poured into your life and that you poured in the life of someone else for me. A week from today, Advent will be over. Christmas will be done. Question is, do we go back to business as usual? Well, Jesus has an offer for you. He wants to take you to a post-Christmas, New Year dance. Okay? Well, what Jesus wants to do is to invite us to say yes to His love. Won't you come to the dance with me, Jesus? Won't you come and let me love you to see who you can be? Jesus says, won't you come to dance with me and love me by loving my brothers and sisters? Won't you come to dance with me, Jesus says. Because if you will, He said, my friend, you'll be filled with such love and such joy. Not only that, but those amazing gifts of Jesus Christ will pour out in this world and touch every life you touch. And someday, because of love, nobody will ever go back to business as usual. That's my hope for you in the days ahead. Christmas is over, and Jesus takes over. Amen.